relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
Listening to America First with Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Donald J. Trump.
And Rush, in recognition of all that you have done for our nation, the millions of people a day that you speak to and that you inspire, and all of the incredible work that you have done for charity, I am proud to announce tonight that you will be receiving our country's highest civilian honor, the Presidential Medal of Freedom. I will now ask the First Lady of the United States to present you with the honor, please.
And as Melania Trump was fastening the back of the Medal of Freedom, the ribbon around Rush Limbaugh's neck at the State of the Union address, you heard them shout out, "We love you, Rush." And yes, indeed, we love you, Rush, and you will be greatly missed. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, and who better to discuss what this means for America and what he did for American talk radio than our good friend out on the West Coast, host of The Morning Answer and The Jen and Don Show on AM 590, AM 870, The Answer. Jennifer Horn, welcome back to America First.
Thank you. It's so good to be with you on a day like this where I think we're all just a little bit sad. And I think, you know, we're happy for Rush for being out of pain. But certainly, as people who shared an industry with him and a country with him, we lost a legend, probably one of the, I mean, definitely one of the best broadcasters and biggest American patriots of all time is gone. And that's a loss for our country.
You are somebody who does more radio every single day than anybody else I know, is devoted to this country, is a true fighter. Tell us from your perspective, Jennifer Horn's perspective, what was different about what he did? What was significant about Rush Limbaugh and how he changed America?
He really did. I think in so many ways, he absolutely changed the broadcast industry. He paved the way for the country to even be ready for a President Trump, I believe. But just let's talk about his radio. And it's so funny because I thought of you actually this morning, and I thought of a conversation that we had before you started this program, before you started America First. And I remember we were driving together to the Reagan Library, and we knew that this opportunity was coming for you. And we had this conversation about radio and what makes a great radio personality. And when I answer that question, I think of my dad, who is a fantastic radio personality, and I think of Rush Limbaugh. And what I learned from Rush, and it's something that we talked about during that conversation, is to be a great radio person, you have to be an entertainer first, and you have to be unafraid to be vulnerable. And that's hard for a lot of people. There are a lot of people who sit behind a microphone and you never really get to know their heart, and you never really get to know who they are. And I think what makes a great broadcaster is someone like Rush Limbaugh, who, no matter what, whether it was popular or not, he told you who he was. You always knew what his convictions were. And he was not afraid to entertain. You know, I was listening to a tribute to him on Fox today, and someone was saying, well, it might have been Mark Levin, said that he was an activist. But he was an activist, and he did right by his country. But what he did was speak the truth, and he spoke his truth. And he wasn't afraid to entertain along the way. And one of the greatest things about Rush Limbaugh is that people who agreed with him, they listened to him and they loved him. But people who didn't agree with him listened to him anyway, because he was entertaining and because he knew how to push people's buttons and get people thinking. And so what intrigued me about Rush Limbaugh is that you didn't have to love him and you didn't have to agree with his ideology to sit there and listen to that program, to enjoy it and to get something from it. And I think that's what's so incredible about Rush Limbaugh. He was vulnerable. He was smart. He was entertaining. And his activism came from a very natural place. He was just preaching the truth to people. He was preaching his truth, and he was right about so many things because he was a student of our history and our Constitution, and knew how to speak conservatism. You know, after Reagan was president, he filled this void in talk radio. I mean, he picked up sort of where Reagan left off in communicating conservatism, because H.W. Bush was not necessarily a guy who was out there speaking about conservatism all the time. Rush was, and he was able to do it in a way that made sense to people and that people could consume. And that's what made his program so entertaining, so fun, but also so smart. And I don't know if there's another person exactly like him.
Let me just continue that story, because that drive out to the Reagan Library, there's some things that I can remember very well. And we were sitting in the front of the car, and your then colleague Brian Whitman was in the back, and he was hunched forward because I was there, this complete newbie who was going to get a radio show, had no idea what he was doing because he'd been listening to radio for 40 years. And I was just drinking in all your advice. And it reminds me of something that another friend whose counsel I took very seriously told me. It's Larry O'Connor, who has a show at the same time I do here in D.C. And he said, you know, the success of a really good radio show is when the host, despite you never ever meeting him, maybe not even knowing what he looks like, he becomes your friend.
Yes.
And Rush, and that's what you shared with me, and what you just said about Rush, that capacity, there was nothing artificial, there was no facade, and that vulnerability or that honesty that is the sine qua non, the requirement to establish that relationship with millions of people, Jen. You can't fake it, can you?
No, you can't fake it. And people will trust you. I mean, one of the greatest blessings in my life is when someone comes up to me and says, who are you going to vote for? What are you going to do about this? Think about that. And the reason people ask you those questions is because they trust you. And the reason they trust you is because you've shown them yourself, and you've created a relationship, that relationship that only comes from talk radio, doesn't come from TV. That's the big secret. Everybody wants to rush to be on TV, but it doesn't come from TV. It comes from radio.
That's fascinating, because everybody wants to have the TV show.
Yeah.
But they don't understand. I had to, Jeff helped me out. We were guest hosting for Greg Kelly over the Christmas break on Newsmax.
Right. I remember.
And I sat in this chair, and I realized instantly after the first hour I did it, It is a completely different format, and you feel stiff, you feel artificial, and you're staring into the camera, and you just know you cannot connect the same way that radio does. Why is that? What is so special about radio, Jennifer?
Radio is just, it is the strangest medium, because it is one where you are sitting with people in their moments of calm and peace, right? We ride in cars with people. Now we probably sit at home with people while they're working from home or working from an office, and you're sitting with people. You become a friend. These relationships, these connections happen, and really good radio hosts, you're right. You feel like you know them. You feel like you have a relationship, a friendship. I heard President Trump today say that in his statement, and I'm just, this is a loose quote, but he said, Rush was my friend and he was the friend to millions of Americans. And the president picks up on that because Rush was the friend to all of us. We listened to him. Even if we didn't agree with them all the time, I mean, we probably did. But for people who didn't, they still went back to them because they knew they were going to get some fun. They knew they were going to get entertaining. They knew they were going to get stimulated. And that's what he did. And for you to actually change people or change the world or encourage people to think outside the box a little bit, you have to have that trust in that relationship. And Rush knew that. And that's how he changed people's minds. And he would do the Rush Challenge. And if you remember, for a short time, he did TV.
Yes.
And he was good at it. Yep. But it was never the same as the radio.
It's different. And it cannot be the same. They're different formats. And there's something so... There's a reason. The most popular Fox show, the most popular cable show gets 5 million viewers. Rush Limbaugh got 25 million. That's the difference. We're talking to Jennifer Horn. Follow her right now at Jennifer Horn. She's with crntalk.com and also host of The Morning Answer and The Jen and Don Show on AM 590, AM 870, The Answer. This is America First.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America first.
Early in our marriage, we lived in Chicago, and Tom ran WLS. Tom flipped the switch from music to talk radio, and he signed a guy who had just started syndicating his show. Rush Limbaugh came to town many times and did his show live from the studios at WLS. He also treated us to many fun experiences and dinners at fine restaurants. We met his sweet mom, Millie, and went to a Mannheim Steamroller concert one Christmas with him. He was generous and kind, and if we ever lost him in a crowded room, he was easy to spot because he wore the most outrageous ties. In a party or large crowd, he often found a quiet seat in a corner. He was quite shy until he got on the other side of a microphone. That is from a post by one of my colleagues, the wife of a colleague of ours here at Salem Radio. Thank you, Tom, for sending us that story about the man that we lost late last night. His name was Rush Limbaugh, and he made this show and so many others possible. We are on the Salem Radio Network. This is America First. And our regular guest, all the way from California, is Jennifer Horn. Follow her right now at Jennifer Horn. Jennifer, what is the biggest thing you're going to take, as a radio professional yourself, who does hours of radio, superlative radio, every single day, what is it that you take away as his legacy for you professionally and for all conservatives?
Well, you know, I'd like to think that my style, I think, was heavily influenced by Rush. I really don't think it's worth talking about if it's not something that I care about or if Right. it's not something I think people care about. I will always tell you how I feel, and I will argue my point, whether if I believe in my heart that it is a conviction that I hold. And I try to do that in the style, I think, of Rush Limbaugh. I also try to do an entertaining show every day, and that is what Rush really tried to do as well. You know, He really saved, and I know we've probably talked about it, but it is so worth underscoring. The AM band on radio was dying when Rush Limbaugh came along and reinvigorated the entire talk format. I mean, the reason that we have the Hannitys of the world, the Levins of the world, is because they got their start with Rush Limbaugh. I mean, some of our old colleagues have gotten their start filling in for Rush Limbaugh. The reason that the medium even exists today the way it does is because of Rush. He really drove the popularity people back to the AM radio band where most of our programming lives today. So I think for anybody to think in this industry that they haven't been touched by Rush Limbaugh, they're wrong, because the whole reason that any of us are here with the microphone in front of their place or in front of their face is because of him. And I try to take from his style, obviously no one wants to copy a style, but certainly I think his style definitely influenced the way I try to do my shows every single day.
And how do you see the current reality for radio, for listeners, for producers of content, and also this quote-unquote this challenger, the podcast universe, Jennifer?
Yeah, I think there's room for everything. I mean, gosh, people are so hungry for content right now. So I think that there's room for traditional radio. I think there's room for podcasting. A lot of times those things can work in tandem. I think with podcasts, you have the ability to go really deep into something. You know, there are a lot of people who do political podcasts and they don't translate on the radio. They do really well as podcasters, but then they get on radio and it doesn't work as well. Radio, and where I find the most interest, is in broad coverage of a lot of topics and in making things consumable for people. And I think that's why Rush excelled at the radio, is that he could take something that could be a bit complicated and he could make it consumable for everybody. That's what we do in the radio medium right now, is to have people come to someone like a Rush Limbaugh or a Sebastian Gorka and say, what do they think about this? How should I be looking at this? Am I looking at this from the right angle? And that's what's beautiful about radio. I think podcasting, it can get more in the weeds, and obviously you have some monster podcasters out there, but I think by and large, even with political stuff, you get bogged down in the details, where I think the beauty of radio is you can really go out there and you can figure out how to use your influence for good by listening to how different people approach a subject. And that's what Rush did. I was reminded of the fact that he did the Rush to America tour. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And he would put together, I mean, he would use his influence to pack arenas that really kind of were the original, like, Trump rally. I mean, he would pack
the original MAGA, the OG MAGA rallies.
That's really what it was. And he brought attention to these congressional candidates, to all of these people who would have maybe drawn, like, what, five people and a couple of flies. And here Rush Limbaugh brought his ability to bring power. And that was because he did something entertaining. He could make something consumable for people. And then he brought attention on a broad level to some of these candidates that he believed in. And I think that is unique to radio. That's not necessarily the same. I don't think it would have worked if podcasting had been around at that time.
And is it conceivable to imagine the Tea Party, MAGA, and Donald Trump in the White House without Rush Limbaugh?
No, and I say this with all due respect and love for President Trump in my heart, and I think he would probably agree with this statement, but I think it would have been a much different climb. I mean, it's hard to predict and play the what-if game. But Rush Limbaugh perfectly paved a path between the two greatest presidents of my lifetime, Ronald Reagan and Donald Trump. He was able to continue the conversation that Reagan started. And, you know, we talked about that just a moment ago. George H.W. Bush was not much for giving life to conservatism, right? He was sort of a transactional president. He was okay. I mean, he was a fine one-term president. And then, of course, you didn't get much talk about conservatism during the Bill Clinton years. You had Rush Limbaugh at that point start to get involved with congressional races. And Newt Gingrich gives him a lot of credit for helping win some House races. And then you have George W. Bush, and along comes Barack Obama, and people tune to Rush Limbaugh to go, wait a second. It's not about Barack Obama being a terrible president. It's about what Barack Obama was giving life to, and that was this progressive, very far-left globalist movement that is so counterintuitive to who we are as Americans, as people who really endorse capitalism and who endorse democracy and all of these things that we do. And so Rush Limbaugh was supposed to be able – he kind of gave that – gave people a place to go to convene. Along comes Donald Trump, an outsider – and Rush Limbaugh was one of the few big guys in the talk radio industry that saw the appeal of Trump. And he saw that President Trump was an outsider. He saw that he was a businessman. He saw that he said some crazy things and was maybe deemed controversial. And Rush Limbaugh said, wait a second, that's what I've been doing this whole time, kind of pushing the envelope, giving these controversial ideas. And the two of them made a good partnership, actually. And I think without Rush, it would have been a harder go at it than you got with Donald Trump winning in 2016.
Who made a controversial call. And today,
exactly.
If the mainstream, if the legacy media calls you controversial, it means...
Hug it.
Hug it. Embrace it. Because it means you're doing your job right. She's controversial, and that's why we love her. Host of The Morning Answer and The Jen and Don Show on AM 590, AM 870, The Answer. Follow her on Twitter, at Jennifer Horn. I'm Sebastian Gorka, and I love being controversial. Next, we're going to talk to the head of a brand new organization who's going to make the conservative movement even more effective. Stay on this channel. This year marks 20 years since America's darkest day, September the 11th, 2001. And the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. Our nation's heroes, people who are willing to die for you and me, need your help. Join Tunnel to Towers on their mission to do good and help these heroes. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's the letter T, the number 2, and the letter T.org. That's T2T.org. Thank you.
You're listening to America First with Dr. G.
What's the right word on a day like this? I think it's exhortation. Rush Limbaugh's life was about an exhortation to all Americans, to just be true to ourselves, to what America was founded as a nation built on individual liberty and freedom by dint of being made in our Creator's image. Somebody who is working on how that exhortation can become reality is a good friend of the show. He is Arthur Millick, who is now the executive director of a brand new center. It's the Claremont Institute's Center for the American Way of Life, and he's going to explain exactly what their mission is. Arthur, welcome back to America First.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
So I have to start with this. We have a couple of segments, so let's just indulge ourselves. What does today's news mean for you in terms of, as far as I'm concerned, there is no populist movement, there is no Trump or MAGA without talk radio, without the resurgence of conservative media, especially on the radio airwaves. And none of that happens without Rush Limbaugh. So we've been talking about him all day. Your thoughts on today's news?
Well, it's like you said, he was a genuine hero of the movement. And look, there are. It's one thing to have airwaves that belong to us, and it's another thing to find the kind of talent, the kind of forthrightness, the kind of clarity of mind that he possessed. And it's mainly for that reason that he is going to be greatly missed. And, you know, it's partly a generational thing, but his love of the country, his willingness to fight for it, his willingness to stand up forthrightly to its enemies is a very rare thing. And it was bred in him and developed over years, but it's something that needs to be repeated. God bless the person who has to fill those big shoes.
Yes, indeed. You straddle the world of fighting for conservative values with the intellectual, the academic part of the undergirding of that mission. Explain to me, if you will, and we'll get straight to your center. You mentioned, you know, owning the airwaves. From your vantage point, why is it that conservatives utterly dominate radio? There is no left-wing Rush Limbaugh, Mark Levin, Dennis Prager. Is there something unique to our message that has allowed us to dominate?
Yeah, it's a couple of things. One is that conservatism is anchored in arguments. And talk radio is about arguments. It's about explaining things. It lacks the images that films, that TV series, that paintings have. And there is a part in the conservative disposition that wants these kinds of rational articulations. It's not only reason, of course, but this is the sphere in which we dominate. Now, look, one could say that it's also partly a problem of ours, because while we do, without question, dominate talk radio, we've lost almost every other major national institution. And all of those institutions are now being used to teach that this country is despicable, detestable, that it has to be undermined and ruined in order for it to be purified. So it's a virtue that we've kept talk radio, but it's also a vice that we've lost everything else.
We're talking to Arthur Millick. He is the new director of the Center for the American Way of Life at the Claremont Institute. In the last minute we have with you in this segment, just give us briefly, what is your new center's mission?
Sure. Well, look, our view is that the left has to be fought on two fronts. The first is the ideological front. And what that means is speaking very honestly, earnestly, forthrightly about the genuine threats to the country. Our view is that we are engaged in a regime-level struggle. On the one side stands Republican self-government, and on the other side stands identity politics. And that is a doctrine which says that there are certain groups that are pure, perfect, and beautiful, and then there are oppressor groups who have been oppressing those pure and beautiful people. And for there to be justice and purification, the oppressor must not only be silenced, he must, all of his institutions and power and voice must be taken from him. So there must be honesty in speaking out against that. But the second and most important thing, which conservatism always shies away from, much to its detriment, is doing genuine harm to the institutions that the left possesses. We will not win if those institutions continue to tyrannize over us. They are oligarchic institutions.
That is so very true. How we do that after the long march through the institutions have seemingly been so successful is what we're going to ask our very special guest, Arthur Millick, here next on America First on the Salem Radio Network, broadcasting across the nation to millions of listeners and viewers from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, if you're in daily pain and have found relief nowhere else, you must try this 100% drug-free product that is providing relief to tens of thousands of Americans, me included, as well as Alicia in California. Listen to Alicia. I'm a grocery store worker and have been working doubles during this coronavirus shutdown. At 52 years old, my two bad knees are not getting a rest. I literally limp to and from bed. 2 days into Relief Factor and the pain has decreased substantially. So thankful for this amazing product. That could be you. Find out today by ordering the 3-week quick starter pack at ReliefFactor.com. Call 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384. You deserve to be the next success story. Find out today. You've waited long enough. You know it makes sense. Do it now. ReliefFactor.com. We'll be right back.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America first.
Rush Limbaugh was a fighter. We are here to stand up for the truth. Mike Lindell is likewise a patriot and a fighter. Have you supported him today? They're trying to cancel him. I've read you the long list. It's an outrageous list. CVS, Dollar General, Kroger's, JCPenney are not stocking his items. They're trying to cancel Mike because he believes in America and the truth. Support him today. You guys have stepped up to the plate. More than 100,000 of you supported him on this show alone last week. If you haven't, do it today. Mike's going to give you 60% off if you use my name. Send a message to the cancel culture left. Go to MyPillow.com. Order whatever you want. Just use my name for those massive discounts or call 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468. MyPillow.com. But you've got to use the promo code G-O-R-K-A. We are back with Arthur Millick of the Claremont Institute's Center for the American Way of Life. Very excited by this new initiative. We're going to post your latest piece. It's called A New Conservatism Must Emerge, an AmericanMind.org. And in it, you use a phrase, you talk about the need for the conservative movement to find its mental and moral toughness, which I think is really why lots of people voted for Donald Trump. Can you translate that into praxis, into what that means in real life? You said, you're right, outside of talk radio, outside of what Rush made possible, the institutions are lock, stock, and barrel in the possession of the progressives or the radical leftists, whether it's Hollywood, the media, the schools, you name it. So what does mental and moral toughness looks like, and what does the dismantling of this monopoly, this cartel, actually require of us, Arthur?
Yes, Seb, you're right. It's an oligarchy. We are ruled by an oligarchy that hates us. It despises us. It despises America. And it wants to treat you like an enemy. It wants to take your belongings.
Hang on, we're losing you there. It wants to take your belongings and what?
And destroy your self-respect. That is its goal. And there are two ways to fight it, but they have to follow in a series. Number one is recovering this mental toughness means recovering for conservatives to recover why it is that they exist, what it is that they're trying to conserve. And for very many years, conservatives have been in error thinking that what they're trying to conserve is actually just GDP.
We're losing you again. I know you're going in and out. So what's the mistake conservatives made for so long, Arthur?
They thought that this country was only about the economy. Yeah. They thought that GDP growth was the only measure of health. And when you think that way, what you end up having is a huge class of oligarchs that end up dominating the economy and doing what they can to put out of business their competition.
The Bezos and the Zuckers, etc., the Gates, so forth.
That's right. And after 30 years of begging oligarchs and giving them everything that they ever asked for, they went woke. It developed no loyalty. It's pathetic. It's a genuine monumental loss. And so what conservatives have to do to fight back is the following. Number one, I think that a great deal of the game is in the states. That's where the future is. Some of those states that are now becoming redder and redder, more red people need to go to them. And they need to become hubs of self-protection for conservatives. And what they need to do is make themselves as autonomous as possible from the woke oligarchy that wants to rule them. That means a variety of laws, a variety of policies, so as to protect schools, so as to cut out of themselves all of the liberal influences. So, for example, why is it that taxpayers in the University of Florida pay millions of dollars a year so that the University of Florida can undermine the education of their children and teach their children to hate them? Why do conservatives tolerate these kinds of things? And the answer is that they've tolerated these kinds of things because they've hoped that, well, if the economy just sails, we will all be good in the end. But the truth is, you can have a country that is wealthy and tyrannical. That is what China is. And we can become something along those lines if these institutions aren't defunded, accosted through the laws, through protests, so as to clear space for conservatives to regroup and make themselves autonomous.
But that doesn't happen by itself. You know, me moving from D.C. to some very conservative part of Texas or Florida doesn't change anything. Surely there has to be the catalytic event. There has to be the leadership or the organizational lever that makes things happen. So what's the practical next step, Arthur?
It's electing governors and mayors who understand the broad situation that the country is in, which is, as I've painted it, woke oligarchy versus Republican self-government. Once they understand that, they can understand precisely what should be done to modify laws, to change laws, to undermine institutions that are hostile, so as to make, again, these states autonomous. It needs political leadership. There is no question about that. But to have that kind of political leadership, you need many citizens who are fed up, who still want to live a free way of life.
Are you talking about a literal caravan, an exodus of conservatives to these new ghettos or these new conservative strongholds?
Look at the numbers. People are moving out of cities. My view is that the era of cities for now is over. It was an attempt for the past 30 years to gentrify, to bring law and order, and the cities have been seized back. And all of the money that people paid for, all of these services that cities provided, they couldn't do one fundamental thing, which is establish peace. They were swept by all of these protests, and many citizens do not want to do that. All of the schools went woke, and now parents have to pay enormous taxes, and then on top of that, to send them to private schools and pay high prices for that, only for those schools to in turn go woke. So it is not a sustainable way of life.
Nope. Something has to change, and it looks like we found a place where they are mapping that road to a conservative future. But it begins with us and local politics. He's Arthur Millick. He is the new director of the Center for the American Way of Life with the Claremont Institute. Where can our listeners and viewers find out more about your new organization, Arthur?
So just go to D.C. .claremont.org. That's our website, and you can see our mission statement. You can see some of our work. We'd be happy to hear from you.
DC.claremont.org, and we're going to have a longer chat here in studio. Congratulations. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First of the Salem Radio Network, coming to you from just outside the insalubrious, fetid, rank swamp that is Washington, D.C., from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, are you in pain? Have you found relief nowhere else? Do what I did. I had a lower back pain issue that had plagued me for 9 years, almost a decade. I took Relief Factor, and 2 weeks later, I was pain-free, and that was 2 years ago. Likewise, listen to Reggie's story, Reggie from Florida. I had a lot of pain from aging, and after only 4 days of using Relief Factor, I am already experiencing less pain and stiffness. Can't wait to see how I feel in a couple more weeks. Relief Factor is a blessing sent by God. Powerful words. Find out if you could be the next success story. You deserve to know. Order your 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com. It costs just $19.95. That translates to less than a dollar a day. What can you get for less than a dollar a day? I tell you what, potential liberation from your pain. Don't wait any longer. You deserve to know. Call 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384. It'll be at your house in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Reggie, and thousands of your fellow Americans. What have you got to lose? Except the pain. 800-500-8384.
What I think of Colbert getting a Letterman's gig? I'll give you the short version. CBS has just declared war on the heartland of America. No longer is comedy going to be a covert assault on traditional American values, conservatives. Now it's just wide out in the open. What this hire means is a redefinition of what is funny and a redefinition of what is comedy. It's media planting the flag here. I think maybe he was the media's last stand, but it's a declaration. There's no unity in this hire. They've hired a partisan so-called comedian.
There's no unity in this hire. And this is an open assault on the United States. That wasn't a couple of years ago. That was 6 years ago. That was the great Rush Limbaugh. That's why he was special. So many ways we've discussed that made him El Rushbo. But perhaps the greatest was his capacity to make connections that others in the media failed to make, to see trends develop before anybody else saw them. How many people 6 years ago were saying that comedy is dead? How many people could prophesy that the only person with any bravery in the future would be Dave Chappelle, and that's it? And others, great names like Seinfeld, would say, you can't do stand-up comedy anymore. It's too dangerous. The wokerati, the woke police will get you, and you will be cancelled. Rush called it 6 years ago, as with so many other things. 3 hours, not enough to pay tribute. That is the individual who made it all possible. Whether it was the MAGA movement, whether it was the Trump victory, I think it is plain to say, it is incontrovertible that the events of 2016 would not have occurred without Rush Limbaugh. Many will rush to try and fill his shoes, stand in his stead, and take over that coveted 3 hours every day. None of them will do what Rush did. Thank you, Rush Limbaugh, for what you have done to reinstill in this nation love of country, and most important of all, to provide courage and faith for those who had perhaps lost their way. May the good Lord bless your soul, Rush Limbaugh, and give your loved ones strength. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Keep your head on a swivel, watch your six, hold the line, never give up, never give in, and stay frosty.